أصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In times gone by, when there was no Google Maps and no Waze and all these different apps, then people learned how to use the stars to find true north. So there's certain formation of stars. Those people who understand how to use it, then they can figure out what is true north. So whether it was the travelers, the caravans that were traveling, or whether it was the sailors in the ocean, so if they wanted to just, you know, keep on their course, on their route, so they looked for those stars, and then they knew now, okay, true north is in that direction. We supposed to be going towards the east or the west or whatever it may have been. So in that era, when the stars, when people found direction in the world, they found the direction in the world using the stars. So at that time, Huzuri Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that Ashabi kan nujum, that my companions, my Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are like the stars. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ Whichever one of them you have to follow, if you follow them, you will be rightly guided. In this zamana, we can't appreciate the statement. Not fully. Because we don't really use the stars. We are looking at ways and we are looking at maps. And when we talk about stars, then today, in reality, those that are disasters, they are regarded as stars. And what they get for being a disaster, they take their name, put it in one star, and put it in a hall of shame for people to walk on top of it. People walk on top of it and they get happy that I am in the hall of shame. They call it something else, but we'll just keep to that hall of shame. In fact, I think the only person, not that we must follow in that route, but how Allah Ta'ala protected the name Muhammad. Huzuri Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the name was Muhammad. So the boxer, Muhammad Ali, so they wanted to put his name in the hall of shame. So he told them, no, I won't allow it. Because my name is the name of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you are putting this thing on the floor, people are going to walk on it. It is bi'adbi. So when it came to him, they made an exception. And his name is on the wall, not on the floor. But that's a topic for another day. What I'm talking about here is that today when you talk about stars, then the stars are not anything to follow, today's stars. In fact, you must be very, very far away from those kind of stars. But at that time, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Ashabi kan nujum, that my Sahaba are nonum, they are like the stars. So they could appreciate it, that if a person was traveling at night, and if he couldn't see the stars, he was in a problem. How was he now going to figure out the direction? Person is in the deep seas, and if it is cloudy, now he's guessing, am I on the right track, or the right wave? Am I going in the right direction, in other words? So when we take this Hadith Sharif and we put it into that context, then what we realize is that if we don't make the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum our examples to follow, then we are lost. Without the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it's like a captain that is trying to pilot that ship or sail that ship on a cloudy night. It's a cloudy night. He doesn't know which way he is going. So when we look into the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then we find that they too went through halat. They too went through a lot of halat, a lot of different conditions came upon them in their lives. They were the muhajirun, so they had to leave their homes also. They had to leave Makkah Mukarramah, they had to go. Some of them were being persecuted, tortured, but they didn't have the means to go. So they remain behind. Allah Ta'ala speaks about them in the Quran Sharif. Then there are other halat that came upon them. Halat of poverty. Halat in their personal lives. In their personal lives. Different things in their personal lives. And in every situation, we will find that their only concern was, am I in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's the only concern. The halat are there. The halat, most of the time, is not something that is within our control. It's not something that is ikhtiyari. Most of the time, the halat that come about, they are real ikhtiyari. If a person, with his own ikhtiyar, by his own choice, he's putting himself into problems, then that is his own fault. But other halat that come about, sometimes bimari, loss of life, loss of wealth, change of situation, a person could be working in a company 15 years, 20 years, next thing they tell him, by you retrenched. Now it's a halat that comes upon. The condition that comes on the person. Now he needs to look into the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. How did they behave in this kind of situation? When they lost their means of rozi, how did they behave? So we'll find if we study their lives, Allah Pak, give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, that at all times they just made sure that, look, I'm in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is one incident mentioned in the Ahadith. We will just take a few incidents, just for us to understand this point, that how careful they were, that I mustn't go against Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he had made nikah. He made nikah, not his thinking of marrying somebody, no. He already made nikah. And he himself says that he loved this woman. He liked her, the lady that he made nikah to. But his father, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, for some shari'i reason, for some dini reason, he told him that, see, you must not maintain this nikah. Abdullah bin Umar, he said, now I love this woman, so I wasn't prepared to just let her go. Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and explained his reasons why he's asking his son not to maintain this nikah. When Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard Umar radiallahu anhu, then he told Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu that you must let her go. Now, no questions asked. This is now coming from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I mustn't be in the disobedience of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never mind I love her, never mind whatever. I got feelings for her, all that. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling me that I must not maintain this nikah, I must let her go. Finish. Alas. That was it. He let her go. One sahabi, well, we'll come to that just now. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is explaining to the sahaba radiallahu anhum different things that will take place before Qiyamah. The different fitan, different signs, different things that will happen before Qiyamah. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks to them about a day that will be very long, as long as a year. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the first thing they say that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this day that is going to be as long as a year, how many namazes we must read? Now, our mind doesn't go there. To them, the first thing is, Allah Ta'ala has instructed me regarding salah. I'm supposed to be reading 5 namazes daily. Today I read something, somebody sent on the WhatsApp. Says that, when there is a march, all these marches and all that taking place, then the person closes his shop for the whole day. Because maybe, you know, there will be trouble, they can loot, they can do this, do that. So in order to save his business, he closes his shop for the whole day. But every day to close for a few minutes, just to go and read his Zuhr Salah, go and read his Asar Salah, very hard. Can't do that. Impossible. There are people that do it. And alhamdulillah, the businesses also continue. I was just telling the Satis before Salah that one of our friends who returned to Malawi, now with all this tension, so he returned to Malawi. So in Malawi, he is doing like a taxi kind of a business, but with a scooter, you know, with the motorbike. If somebody needs to go from the village to the town, somebody needs to bring one parcel from there, here, whatever, so he's doing this. So he made an advert for himself. So in his advert, he got the picture of his motorbike. And in the Chichewa language now, he got something written there. This is the services that he is offering. So he say, I'm available 24 hours, except Salah times. Now this is a person who had to leave. He's starting up something fresh. He's just starting his business, not established, nothing. Trying to now, like now you, the person stays so many years here. Now when he goes there, he's like he's a foreigner in his own country. Right? He's starting up now, starting up something. Right? But his advert, I'm available 24 hours, except Salah times. Namaz comes first. And what is our situation? Looking for every loophole not to close for Salah. It's a sad thing. Years ago, when the cell phone shops just started opening up in the malls. So a lot of the cell phone shops were owned by Muslim people. I'm not going to mention the name, which companies and all that. But a lot of it was owned by Muslim people. And it was found out after that, that the staff in the shop were only going for every third Jummah. And yet the owners of these shops were short of nothing. But because it was the policy of that mall that you can't close your shop, the shop has to stay open. That's the policy. So now if everybody is going to go away for namaz, now who's going to be in the shop? So the staff, the Muslim staff, they were taking turns to go for Jummah Sana, because they, looking at that Hadith Sharif, that if you miss three Jummahs in a row, then you lose your deen, lose your iman. So we look for a loophole, look for a loophole. Some businesses, wealthy, wealthy, people are so wealthy, but they're not even closing for Jummah. They say, no, we've got a non-Muslim staff there. They're looking after the business. So from a fatwa point of view, you may get some ruling. But where is that azmat for the Jummah? We grew up like that, right? We grew up like that. Jummah was like a big thing in our communities. Right? And that kept at least the masajid are full at the time of Jummah. Maybe other namazes we are weak. But Jummah time the masajid are full. Now if slowly we're going to start downplaying the Jummah. No, I got one fatwa there, I got one fatwa here, I got one ruling there. And we start downplaying the azmat of the Jummah. 10 years time, 15 years time, kya hoga? What will be the situation? Allah don't show us the day that our masajid start getting empty for Jummah salahs. Now imagine this Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the signs of Qiyamah. He's not talking about the importance of Salah. The topic is not namaz. But this namaz is so in them that this is the hukam of my Allah. Without this namaz, namaz is the head in the body. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, namaz the head in the body. Without the head, what's left? In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person who leaves out a salah intentionally, meaning he is awake, he knows it's namaz time, he's got no shari'i udhar not to go for the salah, right? And he leaves out that namaz intentionally, he knows my namaz is going, and he's leaving it out, he's not going for the salah, he's not reading the namaz. Then Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the words he mentioned in the hadith, faqad kafar. That person has committed kufr. After that, the fuqaha, they have given their explanations. The Hanafi ruling is the most light. But the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is faqad kafar. The person has committed kufr. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they knew the value and how important this salah is. So the first thing they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those days that are going to come now, where the day is going to be like 1 year, or the night of three nights now, is going to be so long, all these. So on those days, how many namazes are we going to do? Will the namazes of one day suffice for that long period of time? The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, no. You will have to estimate. You'll have to use your estimation. That if we were going according to normal days, so this would have been the time now. So it's Fajr time now. So many hours later is Zuhr time. Then is Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Then so many hours again is Fajr. So you'll have to estimate and you'll have to calculate and read read your namaz is as if to say you're reading every day. Is one hadith sharif. The sahabi, he comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I've got some slaves. Slaves are not staff. Staff is something else. A staff, a helper at home, or staff in the shop, etc. The owner, the employer, he doesn't own them. They're just working for him. Certain time to certain time, they work, and there is a contract in place, and you got to pay them and give them whatever is promised to them. That is a staff. A slave is something else. A slave you own. You own the slave. The slave belongs to you. That slave's, in inverted commas, his life belongs to you. His time belongs to you. He can't do his own thing. After hours, he can't run his own business. He can't even get married without your consent. You have to feed him, you have to clothe him, you have to give him a shelter, and he can only do what you allow him to do. He doesn't own any money, he doesn't have any assets, nothing, he's a slave, belongs to you. You can sell him. You can buy and you can sell slaves. Lot of zulm was made on slaves, especially by the Europeans. Europeans, you know, they like to portray themselves like they are, not all, when I'm saying Europeans, what I mean is the people from America, England, all that. They were the people most involved in the slave trade. Coming to Africa, taking people by force, even if people don't want to go. Lot of zulm was made. But they like to portray themselves as human rights champions, and you know, they are very civilized nation and whatever. Up to today, they come is to steal the resources of every country. Kill people, genocide, so much corruption and murder and everything. That is how they live their lives. But when Islam came, Islam regulated slavery. Islam gave slaves rights. So now the slaves had some hukuk, some rights, etc. So this sahabi, he goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I got some slaves. Now, the situation with these slaves is, they lie to me. Something they never do, they tell me they did it. They speak lies to me. Number two, they're stealing from me. They're stealing from me. They don't listen to me. They're not obedient to me. So this is their wrongs. This is how they are wronging me. Now me in turn, I get very angry. I swear them, I shout them, take off with them. Sometimes we give them some punishment too. So now what's going to be my situation? What's going to be my condition and their condition on the day of Qiyamah now? This is what is happening here. Let us ask ourselves that we take off with one staff member, one helper. Do we think of the consequences in the year after? Sahaba Naunum all the time, they wanted to know, how is this going to impact in the akhirat? The dunya is one thing. In the akhirat, we're all going to be standing on one field. Everybody is equal. There's no slave and master and rich and poor and this nationality. No, everybody is one day on the... And Allah Ta'ala, who is the most just, He is going to be now making faisla. making first love between everyone. Imagine, Allah Ta'ala protect us from zulam, right? Allah protect us from zulam. Imagine a person that we're making zulam upon. That person belongs to whom? Belongs to Allah Ta'ala. And maybe Allah Ta'ala gave us some authority. And now we are using that authority to make zulam on that person. Now imagine how angry Allah Pak is going to be on the day of Qiyamah. I gave you the authority. This person belonged to me. And you are taking advantage like that? So this sahabi, he wanted to know now, there was going to be my situation there on the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a detailed explanation. So you see, on the day of Qiyamah, the wrong that they did to you, so that will be calculated. The reprimand that you gave them, shouting, maybe insulting, maybe gave one shot to, whatever. So that will be calculated. And now it will be checked. If your punishment that you gave them is exactly, it's warranted for the wrongs that they did. So then it will be quits. Nothing for you, nothing against you. Nothing for them, nothing against them. Second situation, second scenario, is that the wrong that they did to you far outweighs the punishment that you gave them or your retaliation. So in that situation, this is going to be to your account now. They have to pay you. So you'll be in a credit. Right? They have to now pay you because the wrongs that they did to you and the punishment that you gave. So for example, if the wrongs that they did to you comes to 100, for example, and the punishment that you meted out or the shouting that you gave only came to 40. So they're owing you 60. So now you'll be in a good wicket at that time. You'll be collecting from them. And the third scenario is, the punishment that you gave, the retaliation that you showed, is more. It is more than the wrongs that they did. So then you're going to be owing them. You have to now pay them. So if you take these three scenarios, there is a 66 to 67% chance, right? One is there's a 33% chance that nothing is going to happen. Right? There is a 66% chance, or another 33 or 34% chance, that you know what, they'll have to pay me. So 67%, I'm not in a problem. There's only a 33% chance that it's going to go the other way. That I'm going to be in a problem, I'm going to have to pay them. But this sahabi, for that 33%, he goes to one side and he starts crying with a volume, with a voice. He's crying. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I can't remember which ayat-e kareema Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read to him at that time. I don't know whether it was وَنَدَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. But I can't remember the ayat, exactly which ayat. But some ayat which shows that on the day of Qiyamah now, justice is going to be meted out. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him this. So he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The only safe route I find for me is that I should set them all free. I should set them all free. And then he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I make you a witness that I have set them all free for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There's only a 33% chance that he is going to be in a problem. 67% or 66% chance that he won't be in a problem. In fact, there's a 33% chance he may be in a credit. But you see, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they threaded the path of caution. That when it comes to my akhirat, when it comes to my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, when it comes to my relationship with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must tread the path of caution. Tread the path of caution. And today we are living a life on loopholes. We're living a life on loopholes, right? So much so that riba also we want to make it permissible to. Some kinj dan, this way, that way, panel beat the masla, like this, like that, whatever. So many things in our life, which we know that this is totally impermissible. Right? There's no 30% chance, 40%, no. It's totally impermissible. So many things in our life. But there also, we're not giving it up. We're not coming out of it. People today, Muslim people, are lending money on interest. They're lending money on, Allah Pak has blessed them with so much of wealth. So much of wealth, they don't know what to do with the money. So now, they're lending people money on interest. Somebody is in a problem. The man needs a little bit of assistance. You're taking advantage of his situation. Instead of helping, you're taking advantage of his situation. I remember, and we'll conclude on this, in Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's time, one person had come to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, and he explained that, look, I went into some financial difficulty, and I went to a loan shark, Muslim person, I went to him and I took a loan. At that time I was desperate, you know, people were on my head. I needed to pay. This seemed like the only way out. I went and took the money from him, right, thinking that I'll settle it. But it never happened that way. And now the interest is just compounding. I'm paying and paying, but I'm still there and there, not coming out of this thing. So Hazrat told him that, see, go to that man, ask him that, bhai, we'll pay you back the capital amount. Whatever is the capital, work out whatever I paid you so far, and whatever is balance on the capital, whatever the original amount that you lent me, so we'll pay you that amount, and you forget all this interest and everything. Now this thing is haram now. You know? We are Muslims. I made a mistake also. I came and took from. So this person, he went to tell that brother. Now you know what jawab he got? The jawab he got from that person, what are you talking about? Azab and all that. I am going to get rewarded for what I am doing. Allah Ta'ala is declaring war with the person. He is saying, no, I'm going to get sawab for what I'm doing. And what logic he used? He said, no, see, if you went to the bank was going to charge you so many percent. So I'm charging you so many percent less. So I have actually saved you from that many percent of interest. So I did a good turn for you. I saved you, otherwise you would have been involved in more interest. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے، کہتے ہیں کہ اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. What, how this new zamana has come about, the change, the whole change taking place. Looking at it, the heart gets roasted. That today person is saying there is sawab in interest also, in gambling also, in everything, there's sawab in that. Allah Ta'ala guide us. Allah Ta'ala guide us. Today I had to go somewhere for some calm. A Muslimah, parked few bays away, jumps off the motor car with their children. You guys be careful now. This is how we're talking to our children. So when parents are going to talk like that to the children, what tarbiyat is going to take place? If the mother is dressed in inappropriate clothing, if you turn the clock back, our grannies, our mothers, they too are not in parda. At that time, parda wasn't something that was common in our societies. But they never dressed shamelessly. You would never find a lady wearing tackies, jeans and tops. Never. They never had too much ilm. They didn't have too much of knowledge. They didn't know too much. But they dressed with haya. With haya, they dressed with haya. They wore their normal dresses, ijar, their scarf, dopatta, whatever it may have been. But they never dressed like the kuffar woman. And same with the men also. Men also were not wearing kurtas. Men were not wearing kurtas and all that time. Very few, only the Morisab was wearing kurta. Nobody else was wearing kurta. That time even the jamaat work wasn't so, you know, when people started going in jamaat, then that fellow will come back, he's wearing a champals, he got a miswak in his pocket, he sold a couple of kurtas there in India and came and he's wearing amama. So you know this fellow, he's a taboo. He's a TJ. They talk like that. Allah maaf kar. But that person, some resemblance of sunnah came in his life. He went in jamaat. Mashayikh, there were no mashayikh in our country. Illa mashallah, there may have been one, two here and there. But not like today's time, how we got so many mashayikh and majalis taking place. No, wasn't there. But, and most of our people were wearing shirt and pants. Doctors used to wear safari suit. They come to the masjid wearing safari suit. But they were not dressed immodestly. Punk kind hairstyles and funny kind clothing. You know. That was never the way of our people. So this is, you know, it's a pain in the heart. And it is something that is going to turn our progeny away from deen. For they won't have a connection with the deen. And once the haya is lost, then fasna' ma shi'. What you want? Today when this haya is gone, then even in our Muslim community also, the sin of lawatat is taking place. The guna of lawatat, the guna of Qawm-e-Lut, is taking place in our Muslim community too. Because haya is gone. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala, give you tawfiq. I was dealing with one case the other day. I'm just mentioning these things just for us to get some sort of understanding of what is going on. One side is a girl, the wife, she went through the university system and she got couple of symbols by her name. The husband, he too went through and he got couple of symbols by his name. So now the husband has got some doubts that the wife, she is doing something wrong. You can understand what I'm saying, that she is doing something wrong on the side, you know. So the whole thing ended up in a talaq. So now they are trying to reconcile. So the husband is saying that, okay, see, in order for us to reconcile, then going forward, your phone must be accessible to me. My phone is accessible to you. Your phone must be accessible to me. Number one. Number two, just so that there is no doubts and no, you know, cobwebs in the brain, you must be able to go through my bank statement. I must be able to go through yours. I mean, what's so difficult in that? The wife can go through your phone and go through your bank statement. The husband can go through the wife's phone and the wife's bank statement. The wife say, "La, forget about it." Her marriage is depending on this, right? No. Not prepared? So why won't a person be prepared? Fourth. Why won't a person be prepared? These are the things that are happening in our community. The more we are moving away from our deen, more and more all these things are creeping in. And Allah alone knows what will happen going forward. So if we want to save ourselves, then ashabi kan nujum. Look at their lives and follow that life. Allah Ta'ala will protect us. Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us. Allah Ta'ala was tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ijtima will be taking place in Peter Marriott's book. What dates, Mark? 8, 9, 10 August. Ijtima will take place. We invite all of you to attend the Ijtima also. And there will be a lot of Jamaats moving around now, inviting towards the Ijtima. We must make Nusrat of the Jamaats and make Dua and Bhattala make the Ijtima a success, make it a means of our Hidayat, Hidayat for entire mankind. Allah Ta'ala accept. As-salamu alaykum.